Well, today we're getting very close to the end of our series that we've been doing for about the last 9 to 10 weeks, counting our guest speakers. How many enjoyed Gary and Tammy Donahue last week? Did you guys enjoy them? Yeah, what a challenging message from some of our national leaders on passing it on from generation to generation. Well, today we're going to pick back up on our series we called Vision, simply just talking about the vision statement of our church and who we are. And over the last couple of years, if we started and started Destiny Church from the very beginning, now we're evolving into what is God really calling us to be, defining what is the most important thing that God has got for us. With much prayer and just being sensitive to the spirit of what God feels like God is calling us to be, we have established this thing right here, believing this, a Destiny Church exists to teach people to passionately love God. First of all, we realize this all starts right here, that we got to passionately love God. How many know there's a difference between loving God and passionately loving God? How many spouses can say there's a difference between your spouse loving you and passionately loving you? We know the difference, don't we? There's a difference. You can feel the passion, and when the passion's there, is a great difference. And we just don't want to love God. We want to passionately love God. We want it to come out of our heart. We want everything within us, and we'll talk about more about that in just a second. We also see where we want to passionately love God, also to genuinely love people, to have a genuine love for people. That God has called us to have a genuine love one for another. That means these people over here, you're called to love these people on this other side. Even though you don't like them, you sit all the way over here to be as far away from as you can. Oh, we know you like them. But God is calling us to have a genuine love. You know, and like I said, we put the word genuine because how many know we can say, oh, I love you. How many know there's a difference between having a genuine love and just saying that I love you? We're trying to get past lip service and begin to put action into what we do. So we want to passionately love God. We want to genuinely love people and then simply do what God's told us to do by teaching others to do the same. This is the most important thing. We follow it up with our text in Mark 12:30, which says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. We talked about a few weeks ago, remember giving an illustration of the chair. If I was to cut the leg off of one of these chair, this leg off right here, would you sit in this stool? No, it wouldn't. Why? You wouldn't hold you up, would it? Without all four legs, this chair is unstable. This chair is unstable anyway. Pastor Matt, I don't know what you've been doing to this stool, but anyway. But if I cut the leg off, you couldn't sit on it, would you? I'd fall over because it's unbalanced. And in the Christian walk, when we love the Lord with just two of these areas or three of these areas, we have an unbalance in our life. And so when Jesus was asked, what's the most important thing that we can do? He said it right here. We're to love God this way with our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. And over the last 4 or 5 weeks, we've been talking about those areas. How do we love God with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength? And when we only do one area or two or three areas, we're unbalanced. But when we learn to love God with all these different areas, it creates stability in our Christian walk. Because God has designed this to be balanced in our Christian walk. And so we know this is the way God has done it. And also it says, second is this, to love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. And I can just tell you today by experience that high school seniors and college graduates, that I remember that time in my life very, very clear. I remember being raised in church and I just say, you got a cool church. Okay, we've established that already. Not only because you got a cool pastor, but man, you got a cool church. Okay. How many parents think your kids today that had no idea what you went through growing up, okay? You know what I'm talking about? You got a cool church. You got a church where you're excited about bringing your friends to. And I can remember a time when I didn't necessarily want to bring my friends to church because they didn't know what was going to happen. And so, that's enough said. But anyway, I just didn't necessarily know what was going to happen, so I didn't ever always want to bring my friends to church. And I remember going through this time in my life where even though I was living for God to a certain degree, I was so far away from Him. I thought that I knew about a relationship with God, and my relationship with God existed what I call sin bucket syndrome. Because I had this big spiritual bucket that I carried around, and allow sin to pile up in my life, and then when it got too heavy for me to carry, I go to the altar and I pour it out. Ah, God, help me, I'm sorry. The guilt got too much, you know, and I come and I felt better. And I walk around, I had an empty bucket, I was good, you know, and then as the bucket got heavier and heavier and filled back up again, then I go back, you know. It was no relationship. I always thought it was about, you know, one extreme or the other. And it was through this personal relationship with God that God changed my life in a radical way. When I really realized that God wanted a relationship with me in a personal way, I'll never forget it. I'll never forget sitting in the service and clicking in my heart. And you guys have heard me, some of you have heard me tell you about the time the Spirit of God came on me so strong. I was the only one standing up, and I was standing up about three rows right behind where Justin was at in that auditorium at that time, man. I was standing up, and I was just crying uncontrollably. And people were looking at me like, what is wrong with this guy, man? Something wrong with him. He's the only one standing up. And he's crying like a girl. He's crying. But something inside of me had clicked. My spirit had clicked, and I realized, God, I'll give you all my life. It's about a personal relationship. And I just remember that revelation of God loving me in a personal way, that God wanted to have that personal relationship with me. And it wasn't about my sin. It was about his forgiveness in my life. And it was about not how many times I mess up, but how many times I get up and put him first in my life and beginning to build toward that relationship with God. Just changed my life radically. And today, seniors, and as you are heading into this time of your life, you're going to be tempted today to go through so many independent things in your life. And I say to you, if you can get this principle down in your life, it will save you so much trouble. If you can get this principle down in your life of loving God with all your heart at this age, not because your mom brought you to church, not because your dad made you do it, but because you developed that relationship with God that's saying, you know what, I am growing to a young adult now, and I am making this decision. I'm going to live for Christ, and it's a daily relationship that he wants with me. And I just challenge you to begin to explore that and begin to say, you know what? Developing that personal relationship for you, it will change your life. It changed my life. I've never been the same. I remember wanting such to be changed. In college, we would drive all the way down to Tulsa. Where's TJ at? TJ's from Tulsa. Hey, good to have you, TJ. I'm going to pray for you guys, too, today. I mean, how many college students we have today? If you're in college, you just stand up where you're at. If you're in college right now, presently, if you're already in, not until you graduate, but you're in college, stand up. I want you guys to stand up. All these guys are getting ready to finish up the semester. A lot of them will be going back home for the summertime. And so today, we want to just pray a blessing over you as well. TJ's from Tulsa, and that triggered my mind. I wanted to pray for them today, so... set your hands toward someone around you. Let's just pray for our college students today. Father, we pray for all of our college students today. God, we thank you for the blessing they've been to us. And God, as they maybe leave for the summer to go different places, I pray that your hand of protection be upon them as they go to look for summer jobs. May they find good-paying jobs. And God, those who are doing ministry this summer, may you direct your path. God, to have a great summer. Those who are counseling, those who are doing volunteer work. God, I just pray blessing upon their life today. We thank you for the gift they've been to us. And God, we look forward to seeing them, those who are returning back this fall. And God, we pray blessing on our life in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. TJ, I remember driving to Tulsa to a church because I was so hungry for God that I went to this one church. And man, they were doing music that was off the cuff, man. I mean, they had this white guy doing music, and you would have thought he's black. He was good. He was a white Stevie Wonder. You know, his name was Gary Oliver. You guys ever heard of Gary Oliver? I think you guys may have heard of Gary Oliver. He was doing it, man. And I'd walk in, I was like, wow, this is not country. I can do this, all right. And so, nothing against country gospel, okay? This is just talking about being raised on certain things all your life. And for the first time, I was experiencing something new, and at the time, I was so immature, the style was drawing me, you know what I mean? There was something about that just triggered in me that I would go, and because I was opening myself up to a new style of worship, that I just wanted to be where God's presence was. We would drive 2 hours to be in service because we just wanted to be someone where we knew that the presence of God was going to be. And today, this passion, talking about growing in passion with the Lord, it's about letting God do something in you in a spiritual awakening. It's to say, God, I love you. It's a personal relationship that he wants to have with every one of us. It's not a religion. It's a relationship that Jesus has for all of us. And so we've been dissecting through this verse. Today I want to spend my last few parts of this service talking about the second part of this, loving your neighbor as yourself. And I want to talk about today how to have transforming relationships. How to have transforming relationships. You know, Jesus was so good at having transforming relationships. So how many of us today can say that we really have relationships that we've seen someone transform through our relationship with them? If you've ever experienced that before, I tell you, it's such an incredible spiritual high when you see somebody come to in a relationship that you have and you see their heart changing. One of the funnest things I have to do is in the community is to find people that don't know I'm a pastor and to become friends with them and talk to them. This week I had somebody I've been friends with for a couple of years, and he finally put two and two together this week, and his mouth about hit the floor. You're the pastor over there? Why didn't you tell me? I'd have cleaned up my language, or I'd have done this and that, you know. And it was so funny to see, because he's just like, man, I'm sorry. He's only apologizing for 2 years worth of things, you know. I didn't know he was the pastor. Oh, so that's why I didn't tell you. I didn't want you to act all crazy and funny, because I'm just like you, okay. But one of the fun things is to see people, you know, who don't know your pastor, and then as they later on come in, you are able to connect with them on a different level and see their hearts transformed and changed. Some of you know what I'm talking about because you came into church here. I invited you. You didn't even know I was a pastor until you came to church. And it's something about that, you know, when we connect with people and see people's lives transformed, it's something about that just changes who you are. When you see someone transform their life, it changes the way you approach things. When you open up your life and people receive God's love from you and they see them change, transforming their life, man, it's a big deal. And you realize for the first time, wow, that's why I was created. This is my purpose in life. This is what brings fulfillment. It's a spiritual heritage that we're passing on. It's this love of God that we're translating. As we see people come alive spiritually, people come alive and transform in their life. And Jesus was so good at this. I was thinking about this, and I came back to the story in Luke chapter 19. One of my favorite stories, a really short story here in the Bible. It's one of my favorite stories, and I want to look at it today and make a couple observations about the story. Luke chapter 19. Let's read this first slide. And it says, Jesus, and he's walking. He says, he entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus, and he was one of the most influential Jews in the Roman tax collecting business, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to climb over the crowd, so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree beside the road so he could watch from there. How many ever sung a song as a kid, you know, Zacchaeus was a wee little man? How many to Sunday school and sing that song? Now, I was thinking about that today. You know, it's just me because, you know, I see things a little funny. Leave it to the church to take someone's handicap and make fun of it. I tell you what, you know. He's a wee little man. I mean, anywhere else aside, we go and tell that, hey, you're a wee little man, aren't you? You know, they're like, look who you're calling wee. I mean, I'm sorry. The thought crossed my mind this morning. I had to laugh. I thought you might laugh too. But we see Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector, and he was a Jew. He was one of the most influential Jews in the Roman tax collecting business. He had become very rich. He had turned on his own people. They were using him to collect taxes from his own people. And we know as a person who was a tax collector that day, how he made his money was he would only collect what the Roman Empire wanted, but he could collect his fee as well. So as long as he brought the Roman Empire what they wanted, he could keep whatever else he collected. So if you owed them $1,000, he could say, all right, you owe $2,000, Roman Empire. $1,000 for me, $1,000 for Roman Empire. And so he was basically what he was running was what we call the mafia, you know. When I preached on Zacchaeus before, I like to always play the Godfather thing. No, no, you know, welcome to the family. Come here. You know, it's the same kind of thing here. He was running a mafia scheme, man. These guys were the mafia. They were collecting for the Roman Empire, and then they would take what else they wanted. I mean, with no kind of law to his law. He could do what he wanted. He could collect taxes as he wanted. So you can imagine he was one of the most hated men. Not only besides that, he was one of their own who had turned against him to come back and steal from him. And so when people saw Zacchaeus coming along, you know, they were like, ooh, that wee little man's going to get it. I'm sure they called him anything but wee. Matter of fact, and we study out Zacchaeus' name, and in Scripture it talks that he was actually a dwarf. He was actually dwarfed in size to the point of it being a handicap, what we call a handicap in today's society. He was an outcast, man, so not only in his size and appearance, but now because of the business he was running. And how humiliating would it be to have someone come along like Zacchaeus, you know, a wee little man coming along and take away your money. You're just like, ooh, I just want to, you know, you'd be ready just to deck this guy, you know, stealing from you. But you know, you couldn't do it because they had the whole Roman Empire mafia backing him up. And so here he's Zacchaeus. And I'm sure when he walked around, people didn't look at him very often and say, oh, there's a wee little man. They probably said, there's that so-and-so. You can fill in the blanks. Okay, so he was very much a hated man. Let's go to verse 5, next slide. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus, quick, come down. Let's stop right there. When Jesus came by and looked at Zacchaeus and he called him by name, he said, Zacchaeus. Isn't that amazing? I wonder how long had it been since Zacchaeus had heard his name called by his real name. Usually people say, hey, shrimp, shorty. Wee little man, as the church likes to call him. Zacchaeus. You robber, you thief, you traitor. That's the only words I'll say in church today. He was called every name in the book, but what he wasn't called was probably Zacchaeus. So when Jesus stops and looked at him, hey, Zacchaeus, can you imagine him like, what? Someone's called me by my real name? And that's a very quick thing because when you got to see people and you're transforming relationships, you got to know this, that when Jesus sees you, he doesn't see you for the sin you are. He doesn't see you for the disgrace you've done. He doesn't see you for all the ways you've blown it. He sees you as a person you were created to be. And so as we're learning to love people and transform them, we got to quit looking at them as the jerks they may be, as the irritating person they may be, as a person that may just drive you crazy, but instead see them as a person the way Jesus sees them. He says, Zacchaeus, quick, come down, for I must be a guest in your home today. So Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the crowds were displeased. Who would the crowds be displeased? Could it be church people? I don't know. Let's just think about that a second. Okay. Or is it not special? Okay. But the crowds were displeased. He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner. They all grumbled. Isn't it just like the church? If we're not careful, man, we'll grumble about those things. Look what the next slide says. We'll keep going here. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, I will give half of my wealth to the poor. And if I have overcharged people their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today. For this man has shown himself to be a son of Abraham, and I, the Son of Man, have come to seek and to save those like him who are lost. Now today we know this is a transforming relationship, a short story, but there's something that happened in the short time that Zacchaeus climbed that tree when Jesus called him by name to when Jesus went to his house for dinner. And when he gets done with that dinner, hey Jesus, by the way, I've changed so much that you know what? All the money I've stolen, I'm going to go back and I'm going to pay it four times the amount. I mean, how many would love it if the IRS called you up whenever they made a mistake? Hey, we made a mistake this week on your taxes this year. Instead of paying you back what we owe you, we're going to give you four times the amount we owe you. How many of you are like, that would be a miracle? Yes, it would be a great miracle. It's the same kind of concept in his heart. It's what he was doing. I'm going to only going to take back what I stole, but I'm going to pay him back four times as much. And Jesus looked at him and said, Zacchaeus, man, you've had a transforming relationship here. You have transformed. You have done a 180. Instead of taking four times what you should get from them, now you're giving back four times. there's something about this relationship that Zacchaeus did a completely 180 here. And so what was this? Now look at this. It always, this story always excites me because I just, you see such a transformation. And one of the greatest things as a pastor, you always like to see transformation, fruit in people's life. And so when I read the story and we see such quick fruit that came out of this. Now, we don't see all that happened in Zacchaeus' house. But we know this, he went to his house for dinner and something changed in his life. Let me give you a couple quick points about this as we close out this part of it. The first thing we must realize when transforming relationships is that I must sacrifice time. Let's be honest. Our time is worth a lot, isn't it? Our time is worth a lot today. Time is worth more than money. Time is money today. Our time is worth a lot of things. And Jesus had a history of sacrificing his time. Jesus always did this. Wherever he went, he was always looking at sacrificing his time. Because Jesus' focus was upon people. His focus was upon transforming relationships. In this event, so much time that they have is the meal together. You know, we see him calling him down and says, Zacchaeus, I'm going to your house. And even though it's not written there, we know that he went to his house for the meal. Then we see what happened after the meal. But if we could see what was going on during the dinner, it would be pages and pages worth of things because we realize this, that a meal back in those days was not like a meal today. A meal back in that time, it took a long time to prepare. They didn't have the modern convenient microwave ovens to do here or the drive-thru, okay? Going to his house for a meal meant starting things from scratch. And so you're talking about probably was an all-day process of going to his house and eating. And the meals were not just, you know, a short meal, but they were seven-course meals, seven-course dinners. Today we got seven-layer burritos, you know? They got seven-course meals and we got seven-layer burritos, which are very good, by the way. But society changes. But back then, man, that was a very, some of you guys are looking at me, I get to have one of those seven-layer burritos right now. But it was a must sacrificing the time. Jesus, when he went to his house, he was sacrificing his time. I love the creativity of this because when Jesus walks up to him and says, hey, Zacchaeus, he didn't say, come to my house to dinner. He said, come hang out with the disciples. Hey, Zacchaeus. Hey, let's go to your house. I'm going to your house for dinner. I dare you to try it sometime. Just walk up to somebody. Hey, what's up? Hey, I'm going to your house for dinner today. All right. Now, in college, I tried that a few times, and it worked, okay? You college students today, that'll work because we take pity on you because you're in college, and we understand. You need to survive to eat, okay? We'll feed you, right, Carlos and Susan? You know what I'm talking about. We'll feed you, man. But to do it as a grown adult, takes a little guts. But I love the creativity in this because Jesus says this. Hey, Zacchaeus, I'm going to your house. We're going to have dinner today. I'm going to your house to eat. And he spends this whole afternoon with Zacchaeus. I wonder how many of us are looking to sacrifice our time when it comes to having transforming relationships. How many of us never get to that point of having a transforming relationship with somebody because we never invest the time? We're always so busy. And let me tell you, we're all busy. Everybody is busy, busy, busy. It's a part of society. Man, we're working and we're going. And we got kids playing ball. And we got graduation parties. And we got things happening. Every week, there's always something, something, something. And so I got news for you. Your life's not going to get any slower for a long time, okay? It's not going to slow down for a long time. So what's going to have to change is you and I. We're going to sacrifice our time if we're going to make a difference in people's lives. Because otherwise our schedule will be so busy, we'll crowd out what God has always intended for us to do, which is to see transforming relationships. You think Jesus wasn't busy? You not think Jesus had an agenda? You not think he had a lot of things he had to do? But Jesus always took time, whether it's for Zacchaeus or I love the time when he got off the boat and he had crossed over. And when he got there, it says that a high-ranking official by the name of Jairus met him and said, hey, man, I need you to come to my house. My daughter's dying. Remember him? And he said, Jairus, come to my house just so you can heal him. He said, all right, I'm going to your house. He changes his agenda right there. And he starts going to Jairus' house. And as he's walking through, the crowd's like, hey, Jesus is here. Jesus is here. And they start crowding him. And the woman with the issue of blood touches him in the crowd. And he stops. Who touched me? You know, and he's supposed to be going and healing this girl. I mean, he's stopping. I mean, he had an agenda. Things going on, but he took time to minister to that lady. who'd been suffering with the issue of blood. He ministered to her right there, and then when he finished up, he went on to Jairus. I mean, we see things happening here. Jesus was always about spending time with people, sacrificing his time. He was a busy man, in great demand. But he was sensitive to the Spirit about where he needed to be. And he was open to transforming people's lives, and that meant investing his time. The woman at the well, he didn't just stop and get water, but he stopped and transformed a life because he was sensitive to sacrificing his time. Jesus invests his time. For us, we can't even turn off our cell phone at lunch. That's just one challenge I'll give you this week. When you're sitting down having lunch with somebody that you're trying to have a transforming relationship with, I dare you to put the phone on silent. Just one time, okay? Just try it. Some of you right now, I dare you one time, put the phone on silent. If I'm with somebody and I'm trying to have a good conversation at lunch, I'm meeting with you, I'm gonna hit that thing to just let it go to voicemail. It's important, I'll call you back as soon as I get done with that meeting. But I want the person I'm sitting across from to realize they're important. Their time is valuable. I don't want them to drive all across town and meet me for lunch. Then me spend half the time on the phone. What am I telling them? This phone call is more valuable than what you are. This is important, more important than what you have to say. And so we got to learn to value our relationships and let people know that, hey, you're important. I got to sacrifice my time. I value who you are. Jesus was so good at this, he sacrificed. The second thing, we must sacrifice my agenda. Jesus sacrificed his agenda. There was a crowd. He had an agenda, but he stopped and he looked at Zacchaeus and he said, hey, Zacchaeus, I'm going to your house today. You know, if it had been us, we'd have looked up and said, hey, look at the wee little man in the tree. Hey, dude, what's up? We'd have walked on by, wouldn't we? Hey, did you see that guy in the tree? He's a wee man. That's the way we would approach things. But Jesus, being in tune with the Spirit, noticed that this man needed his time. And so his agenda was altered to look at him and say, you know what? You're worth my time. Hey, you're worth my time. And he gave him his time. His agenda was altered. How many of us are willing to sacrifice our own agenda to see transforming relationships? How many of us have already got some of you got your agenda, you're so organized? There's nothing wrong with being organized. But some of us, you're organized, you got every meeting this whole week, every minute dotted out, and you know exactly what your agenda is, right? And the fear of God to anybody who tries to break your agenda this week. The wrath of God will come upon them. Right? I mean, someone tried to break your agenda. Woo! They may be in trouble. Some of your husbands right now are smiling because you know your wife's that way. Some of your wives are smiling because your husband's that way. You know what I'm talking about. But how many of us have got our agenda so full this week that if God wanted to use us in a transforming relationship, would we be sensitive enough to pick it up? Would we be willing to sacrifice my agenda? I've got to talk to this person because I've got to talk to him about this and this, what's going on, and this problem. You got an employee, I got to meet this week, and I got to talk to him about this and that. But what happened if the reason God wanted you to meet with him was not because of what your agenda was, but because of his agenda? Maybe God wanted you to be quiet and listen to their problem instead of you telling them your problem. When it comes to having transforming relationships, we've got to be willing to lay aside our agenda, sacrifice our own agenda. Number three, I must sacrifice my own pride. When you're going to have transforming relationships, you got to sacrifice your pride. Look what they said. You're concerned with who you're spending time with. Jesus, you're going to his man? They all grumbled, man. They all grumbled at him. You're going to the mafia leader's house? Spend time with him? Our church is preparing this big potluck dinner for you, Jesus. Lay's been raising money forever to raise this potluck dinner, and you're going to Zacchaeus' house? How are we going to grow our church? We're going to have this church sign, Jesus was here. Church fans are going to have everywhere, Jesus was here. People are going to travel from everywhere. Now we're not, I mean, they grumbled. Look, he's going to his house. And Jesus had to be willing to lay down his pride and not go where he was most wanted, but where he was most needed. Notice the difference. Jesus didn't go where he was most wanted. He went where he was most needed. That's the Holy Spirit just spoke that. So some of you need to write that down right now. I didn't write that down in my notes. That's good. Write that down and give it to me later, Carlos. So I'll make sure I get that. You're concerned about who I'm spending time with. He didn't play that game. He was with people in the moment. He let his pride down. You know, many of us here, if it came to minister to certain people, we would have too much pride. Oh, God, I can't be seen with them. Oh, God, if I'm with them, the people at work are going to think I'm kissing up. Or God, people at work are going to think that I'm trading. Or people are going to think this is my family and my neighbors, my friends. And we got so much pride. Listen, when God's got an agenda and he speaks to you to help transform someone's life, it don't make a difference who it is. And people may not always understand fully. But when they see that person's life transformed, they'll say, you know what? God used that person to make a difference in that person's life. God was at work here. But you got to be willing to lay down that pride. Am I worried about keeping up a reputation? Am I worried about keeping up my status quo? Or am I worried about what God thinks about me more than what anybody else thinks? I've got to be willing to lay down my pride. Ephesians 5:2 says it like this. Live a life filled with love for others, following the example of Christ who loved you and gave himself as a sacrifice to take away your sins. And God was pleased because that sacrifice was like a sweet perfume to him. Isn't that an awesome scripture? This is what God expects of us. Live a life filled with love for others, following the example of Christ. How did Christ love you and I? How did Christ love you and I? I like to tell my kids that he loved us this much. As he spread his arms across that cross for you and I, he sacrificed his life. We're talking about sacrificing our pride. We're talking about sacrificing our agenda. We're talking about sacrificing our time. We're talking about sacrificing the meal to see someone's life transformed. How can I do that? Because I can think about Jesus who sacrificed his agenda for mine. I think about how Jesus sacrificed heaven for earth for me. I can think about how Jesus sacrificed his life and laid upon the cross and received death in my place. And so, yeah, I can gladly sacrifice those things when I put it in perspective. I can gladly say, God, I want to be a passionate lover of you, and I want to learn to genuinely love people because you showed me that in advance. When I didn't love you, you loved me. When I rejected you, you died for me. When I was far from you, you still loved me. You want to have a transforming relationship? Learn to look at what Jesus did. He sacrificed these things. Invest in somebody. See them for who they are. Not for what they are right now, but see them who they could be. See, you know what? I know you could be the biggest jerk, but you know what? I believe God can change your life. I got some people like that I'm thinking of right now. I'm already got friendships with. I'm thinking, I can't wait till God does something big in their life. I can't wait till it all clicks for them. I can't wait till the Spirit opens that door to that moment, because I know he will. I'm going to be able to speak to them. This is what God's done in my life. This is what he can do in your life. It's going to be a transforming moment. I've experienced it before, and I'm going to experience it again. I can tell you there's nothing else that feels better in this world than allowing the Holy Spirit to move through you to help someone change. But it comes with sacrifice to see someone's life transformed. Let's bow our heads this morning. Today, with our heads bowed, I just want to ask you this question. Maybe you're here today and say, Pastor Gene, you're talking about transforming lives. But first of all, I need my life transformed. I need to accept God's love today. I need to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Maybe you're here today and you never accepted Him as your Lord and Savior. Or maybe you accepted Him as your Lord and Savior in the past, but you say, Pastor, I've been so far away from Him today, I need to come back and just renew my relationship with God. If you're here today and you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or maybe you want to renew your relationship with God today, can you just raise your hands? That's me. I want to accept Jesus Christ today as my Lord and Savior. I want to make sure you have the opportunity. Can you raise it high where I can see it? No one's looking but me. And I will not embarrass you in any way. I want to give you that chance today. Anybody here today can raise it high and say, Pastor, that's me. I'm ready to make this decision today. I'm ready. I'm ready. Anybody here today, you need to make a decision. Second question I have for you today is this. Maybe you're here today and say, Pastor, I really need to work on this area of my life. I need to work on letting God use me to help transform people's lives. I want to have transforming relationships. And I need to work on not being in such a rush. I need to work on letting go of my pride. I need to work on some of these areas you talked about today. And the Spirit's convicting my heart today. And I want to have the kind of relationships that people's lives are transformed. If God's speaking to you today about changing some areas in your life, can you raise your hand and say that to me? Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Several hands. Anybody else today? God's speaking to you by making these changes. Thank you. Thanks, guys, for being honest. You know today that God wants to use you in a deeper way. You know today that God's wanting to use you in a deeper way if you'll just let Him. Anybody else today, you want to raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I want God to use me to help transform people's lives. I want to lay down some things in my life. Anybody else today didn't raise your hand that wants to raise your hand? Thank you. Anybody else today? Thank you. I'm going to invite you to stand today. I'm going to pray for you today. I believe God's going to do something great in our life. As we passionately love Him, we can't help but get a passion for other people too, to want to share His agenda. I'm going to pray a special prayer over you, especially those who raise your hands today, that God's going to allow His Spirit to flow in your life like it never has before. Father, in Jesus' name, Father, I pray for every person here today, especially those who raise their hands and say, Father, they want to learn to have transforming relationships, not just superficial relationships, not just relationships that are superficial, but God, relationships that take us deeper, beyond superficiality, that go deeper into the heart of the person we're talking to. As we hear their problems and we can speak life to them, as we fellowship with them, as we love the unlovable, as we love the outcast, as we love the family member, as we love the coworker, and we just show them Your love by listening to them, encouraging them, and allowing Your grace to come alive in their life. God, I pray for every person here this week, God, that we would allow Your love in our life to come so real. That we passionately love You so much that, God, we would not help but just love other people. And God, I pray that You would help us to have transforming relationships that would make a difference. Father, we love You and we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Matt's going to come. Pastor Matt, he's going to sing us through one time, and he's going to close us out in the word of prayer. We'll say, God bless you. Don't forget to stop by the bake sale today. When you leave, buy some cake, take it home, and eat it up, man. Have a good time. You guys have a good week. We're going to listen up to Financial Peace University. We're having our graduation this Wednesday night. Bringing snacks with you. It's going to be a fun party, and we're going to have some other things going on. It's our graduation party here. We'll be discussing the last events. Plan on coming. We appreciate you and love you. Pastor Matt, close us out today.
God, we thank You this morning for Your word. God, and for all that You've spoken to us and done in our service this morning. And God, I just pray right now that as every one of us leave this church building and we go our own ways, God, that You would just direct us and guide us. God, direct us to the people in our lives that we need to reach with Your love. God, direct us to the people that we need to build transforming relationships with, God. I pray that you just make each one of us, God, a little uncomfortable. God, make us step out of our box for you, that we would follow you no matter what, that we would sacrifice our time and our agenda and our pride to follow after you, God. In your name we pray. Amen.